name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was young, in my 20s, I worked at a variety of different jobs for about 2 years to get enough money so I could go to theology college. And all those jobs taught me a great deal. And at most of them, I worked pretty well. The foreman got along well with me, and he wanted me to do more. And if I moved to another department, they often complained and wanted me back because I did a good job. But I moved to different companies. And one day I was working in a company, and my work was at a night shift. And there weren't too many people around. And I'd been there for about 2 weeks, and I had had nothing but trouble with the sub-foreman. I thought he had it in for me. Sometimes that happens. And I thought I had too much work to do. I knew what I was supposed to be doing, and I didn't like what I was being asked to do. It was too much for one person. And I complained, and they ignored me. And this went on and on and on. So one night, I did something I had never done before or since. In the middle of the shift, I simply walked off the job. Left the place I was working in, and never went back. I was kind of feeling guilty about that. And I thought to myself, I'm going to mess it up for everyone else. And I thought, good, they deserve that. They were screwing me around, I'll screw them around. I just walked off. And I thought of that when I was reading this gospel. If I'd been one of those workers, I wouldn't have gone back the next day to work for this guy. I mean, what is wrong with this owner of the vineyard? Is he nuts? Is he crazy? Is he a bad manager? I would not have gone back. And I can understand why these people are mad at him. You know, this story kind of gets me going. I know how difficult it is to do a job. Working in a vineyard is just plain hard work. There's no machines here. You do it with your hands, and you're picking grapes all day, and you're sweating. And then you come into a situation where guys who just hired 2 hours ago get the same wage you do. You're going to be mad. It's a very strange parable. The message is not about a stupid foreman. It's not about bad working conditions. It's not about the need for social justice or trade unions. It's about God, but it's told in a very odd way. This parable only occurs in the Gospel of Matthew, and it has a very specific point. The point is, the vineyard is the kingdom of God. The owner is God, and the owner will be generous to all who come and work in his vineyard, no matter how long you've worked there. And it doesn't make any sense, but then God's like that. God is generous to everyone who comes and asks to be in his vineyard. He told that to the disciples because his disciples were really kind of getting mad at him. Yes, the disciples often got mad at Jesus, and he got mad at them. When you're working for someone, or when you're in a church where you have a rector, or a factory where you have a foreman, or a group where you have a president, as a worker, you're always concerned about what your status is. What does the boss think of me? Am I going to get a promotion? Am I doing a good job? Will I be rewarded? What's going on? And the disciples of Jesus were constantly anxious about what he thought of them. And the disciples of Jesus, some of them had relatives who came to Jesus and said, you know, my son's doing a really good job for you. Why don't you promote him? Make him your second in command. This happened several times. Jesus often faced the problem of dealing with disciples who wanted too much power over others. And when people came to him and wanted to be a disciple, he had to make decisions about whether they were worthy or not. Would they work out with him or would they not be? Were they spies for the high priest? Were they agents of radicals? Were they going to know what the gospel's about? Would they take instructions? Would they fight with him all the time? And he had to choose his disciples carefully. And just before he told this gospel, there was a situation where a wealthy man had come to talk to Jesus, and he said, you know, what can I do to please God? And Jesus said to him, well, you're a good Jew. You know what you're supposed to do. Do you obey the commandments? Do you love God? And the guy said, yes, I do all those things since I've been a young man. And Jesus looked upon him and saw that he was being honest. And he loved that guy. He really had a good, strong feeling for this man. But this man wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus needed to know if he had the right stuff. And so he asked him a question, or gave him a command, rather, which in some sense was kind of extreme. But oftentimes Jesus did make statements that were extreme to see how you'd respond. He said, you're wealthy. If you really want to follow me, go and give up all your wealth and come and follow me, and you will have treasure in heaven. And the guy hung his head and walked away because he was very wealthy and he would not give up his wealth. Now, we read that story and we say, this is kind of odd. Isn't Jesus being kind of mean? No, he was testing him. Probably if the disciple had said, yeah, I'll give it up. I'll give it all away. Jesus would say, you don't have to give it all. Just a good deal. Come and join me. But the man didn't pass the test. And his disciples are standing around hearing this. And the disciples see, this guy's wealthy. We need money. Does this church need money? No. They needed money to do what they were doing. We oftentimes don't think about this, but they needed money to get food for the disciples, to move from village to village, to find housing and accommodation. They needed money. And this guy would have been a good bankroller. Lots of money from the wealthy man. Why did Jesus say something to drive him away? And the disciples get mad at Jesus, and they say to him, look, you don't want this guy, but what about us? Are we important to you or not? We work with you all the time. What is going to be our reward? What will you give us for serving you? Will you reject us because we don't do exactly what you want? What's the game here? And Jesus said to them, listen to the story I tell you. And he told them the story of the parable, the story of the owner who is so very generous to all people. And he's saying to his disciples, come, it doesn't matter who you are. As long as you're willing to sacrifice and follow me, you are in the kingdom. You receive your salvation and you will receive your reward. Don't worry about it. That's the purpose of this parable. Don't worry. Come and work in the kingdom and you will receive generously from God. You receive your salvation. You receive your crown of glory. Don't check your status out against other people. Just come and serve and you will be blessed. Now, when this gospel was written, it was written about 70, 80 AD. The story it's talking about occurred about 32 AD, 40 to 50 years earlier. The disciples pretty well were dead by this time. Jesus certainly was. He had died and rose again. But the disciples and all the people who might have been around at the time that story was told have died. And we have this gospel called the Gospel of Matthew. We don't know really if it was written by Matthew. It's traditionally ascribed to him. But it was written for a purpose. What was the purpose? Why was the story told for people who lived 50 years later? The Gospel of Matthew is understood to be the most Jewish of all the four Gospels. It's aimed at those disciples who were very faithful as Jewish people. And in the church of around 70, 80 AD, there was a good deal of tension between two groups of people. Jewish people who were the original disciples or the descendants, and new people who'd come in to the church who were Greeks or Romans. There was a racial divide. It's very serious. It almost divided the church and smashed it to pieces. This story is told because we see a generous God who treats everyone the same in terms of giving them salvation if they want it. The early workers are the Jewish people who have always maintained their faith in God, who've come to God over centuries, and who, many of whom faithfully follow Jesus. They are the inheritors of the promises of Moses. They are the people of the Old Testament, and they are honored for that fact. But there are new people in the church who have just shown up. They're the people who have come 2 hours before the work is almost over. They're the workers that were standing around in the field at 5 o'clock at night, and the owner came and invited them in. And there's tension in the church between the Jewish people and the Greeks and Romans, because these people are new. And why are they being given positions of importance? And why are they being respected? And why do they have power over us in some cases? That's why this gospel is here. To say that all people who come to God, no matter what their status is, are welcome and will be generously treated by God. Now, how do we apply this gospel in our own lives? Two months ago, I was at a relative's gathering, and we were talking about immigrants and refugees. You know what that's like when you start talking about immigrants or refugees at a social gathering. You've got all kinds of different opinions. Some people say, hey, it's good we're getting so many refugees. It's good we can help people. Others say, no, it isn't at all. Do we want all these people here? They're very different from us, you know. And we had one lady in our group who was absolutely incensed at the free ride these refugees were getting. Now, most of these people in this group had relatives who had come to Canada from Russia or the Ukraine 50-100 years ago. And when they came, they had to work really hard. They had to set up their homes here in Manitoba as farmers. And no one helped them. Or at least they didn't get too much. It wasn't reported in the newspapers. No one cared that they came. They didn't get a lot of money to set up. Maybe they got a few little things to help them, but not much. And actually, many of them died in the first couple of winters because it was so bitterly difficult for them. And this story of our forefathers coming 100 years ago, 50 years ago, fleeing from Europe or fleeing from another country is repeated across Canada. Many people will tell you they have relatives who came from Italy, from the Philippines, from Russia, from Germany, from people who had to flee after the Second World War. And they had a really hard time of making it. And then these new people come, and they get all kinds of, support from the news media, from the government. They're warmly welcomed. They're given generous help. The media constantly talk about them and how nice they are, refugees from various countries, and how we should support them. And some people get mad at that, because my grandmother, my grandfather didn't get any of that. Now you see how the gospel applies. The people who are coming as refugees and immigrants now, and who are receiving so much attention and so much financial support when relatives in the past did not get it, are the people who come the last hours before the work is almost done. They're the newcomers. They're the people who don't have status because they're not regular workers, but God is generous to them. In our country now, we live in a very much wealthier country than we had 100 years ago. And we have more money to give to people who come and need it than we did 100 years ago. And we live in a country with an amazingly effective media system, which will turn our attention to the plight of people far more effectively than ever happened in the past. And that's good. And that's part of the generosity of this land, and that's part of the generosity that you and I are asked by this gospel to share with other people. Let's remember that we are given salvation freely, no matter who we are. And just as God gives us salvation freely and generously, so we are challenged to do that with other people, to treat them lovingly and generously, no matter who they are, no matter if they're people we don't like the looks of their faces, or if they're from another religion or no religion at all. We're to treat them as generously as God treats us. And that's the message today.